Welcome to episode 219 of the Various Assembly Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Harmon, joined live from our virtual studio on the internet by my good friend, my colleague, my co-host, and the man who puts the madness in march, John Scott Sloat.
What a way to put that there, Doc. You know, we can't say the month and then the madness, right? You can't, like, I think you have to pay copyright or something like that.
Which, well, it's the same with the Super Bowl, apparently, right? Which I probably just, you know, like, I suppose you're not, like, in advertisements, you can't use that.
Yeah.
Which is so dumb.
So I've heard some podcasts call it third month crazy time. And something like that to work their way around copyright, I suppose.
It just boggles my mind. Like the whole like copyright and trademark kind of stuff, just it boggles my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't fully understand it. Because they're not gonna cut, like, if we really said it, is CBS really gonna come after you and I?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And I think they'd look foolish if they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just so dumb that we have these, like, that we can't refer to these obvious events by their actual name because of trademark or copyright infringement, which is just dumb.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, so we are recording on the internet in part because this is going to be my flu episode, John. I don't know that I'll put up the 38 points that Jordan put up, but this is my flu episode.
So flu or bad pizza or bag, you know, there's a number of stories surrounding that.
Yes. Yes. Well, mine is definitely flu. So no doubt about that. But and you're working from home today anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Like most of my department's at a conference. So I think there's one person coming in today, and I just said, I'm working from home.
And you did not get invited to this conference?
It was a women's conference. So no, I did not.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. If you would like to contact the show, you can find us on X at VNSPod. You can email the show, variousassemblypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook and on YouTube, and we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and a review. So, John, let's talk some sports.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
Well, why don't we start with the NBA? I know my Knicks lost last night to the 76ers in one of the worst games I think played this season. I think the final score was 73-78.
I caught the very end of that game, like literally the last like 10 seconds of it, and could not believe that that was not a third quarter score.
Right, right. And the guys afterward, it was pretty unanimous throughout the Knicks locker room afterward. That they played like four letter words, you know, they played very, very poorly. And the good news is the Knicks are getting healthy. They're going to be back and full strength here in the next, hopefully 2 weeks, 3 weeks will be full strength.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention on NBA before we move on to college hoops?
No, not really. Not really.
So let's talk some college hoops. Let's talk men first. Ohio State beat Rutgers, and they are now on the outside of just like on the fringe of the bubble conversation, which their season was. Okay. They were left for dead, probably about 5-6 weeks ago. But they fired their coach. And the new coach has led them to a 5-1 record.
Okay.
Including wins over Purdue and Michigan State. So
their quality.
Yeah. So I think there's a chance that if they win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament, They could sneak their way in, but
So if out of, you know, if six, what is it, 68 teams get in,
yeah.
if you were putting a number on them, were they at like 75 right now, would you say?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked too aggressively at the sort of like the last four out, next four out kind of stuff that all the self-styled bracketologists do. So,
Yes.
but we'll see. I'm not getting my hopes up, but it's impressive that they've managed to even get back in the conversation. But the two other games that caught my attention this weekend were Houston. They beat Kansas by 30.
That's wild.
You just don't see Kansas typically getting blown out by 30 by
Yeah.
anybody. And can't.
Houston seems to have a good club, seems to have a good team this year.
I wonder if, and maybe some of our IU fans could weigh in, because their coach, Kelvin Sampson, was at IU and they ran him out of town.
Was it recruiting violations? Is that
I
why he
think,
left?
yeah, I think there was something along those lines, but I mean, the team he had on the floor was not producing necessarily either. And so you put those two together and that's a recipe for losing your job. But I don't know. I just wonder, you know, the IU program is not in the greatest of shape these days, with former Knicks coach Mike Woodson.
That's right. Yep, Mike Woodson.
Though if Indiana, I think if they win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament, they have a shot at making the NCAA tournament. So, and then Kentucky beat Tennessee, which was a
That's a good
matchup of
game.
high powered teams. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We're not too far away from the, I guess we're recording this on a Monday. This drops on a Tuesday, March 12th. So this upcoming Sunday is the release of the bracket.
Is it really? Is it that quick? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So we'll have to make sure we put again the bracket information into the show notes so that we can make sure people get signed up for that, because this will be the last, well, I guess the next episode will drop the Tuesday that the tournament starts with the first four.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll make sure that's in there. A couple of other sports things here. Women's college basketball. Did you see the any clips of the end of the South Carolina LSU women's game?
I did not. I saw that on the rundown. And ooh, I'm excited for Matt to tell me about that. So tell me about it.
Well, at the very end of the game, basically a fight breaks out between these two teams, and you have got players from both benches leaving the bench, which is a big no-no. You had the brother of one of the players jump over the first row and over the scorer's table to get onto the floor, who was then immediately followed by a police officer who did the same thing to grab him and arrest him,
Wow.
which I have no idea what he thought he was doing. But and then so I've not received clarity on this as to whether some of the initial reports were, well, both teams are going to have all these players suspended for their next game, which will be the first round of the NCAA tournament for the women.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, but I've also seen others say that's not for certain. So we'll see. But
Where did this, I'm trying to think of naming of this brawl because you know we had the Malice in the Palace, like what's the name of this brawl?
I don't know where the women's tournament was being played.
Okay.
So, but yeah, just a pretty wild scene at the end of that game. Speaking of a wild scene at the end of the game, you want to talk about the New Jersey high school basketball
Yes. Well,
drama.
to catch people up, if you're not paying attention to New Jersey high school boys basketball. Massaquan, which I had to work on the pronunciation of that pre-show, so I was putting in the work. Massaquan, which if I understand New Jersey high schools correctly, Massaquan is this sort of wealthy area town, was playing Camden, which is a notorious not so wealthy area of town, and Massaquan hits a buzzer beater to go up one to win the something in the state tournament, semi something, and they start celebrating on the court. The referees gather together and make a determination on the floor that nope, the ball was in his hand when the buzzer went off, so the basket's no good. And after Massaquan is on the floor celebrating with all of their fans, they make an announcement that the basket was no good, and Camden wins the game and is going on. So Massaquan, obviously upset, and there's a ton of video evidence out there to see that the ball indeed left his hand with like a half second left. So it's not even particularly close. Mm-hmm. The officials have come out and said, we screwed up. We messed this up. The athletic conference that they're in came out and said, we screwed up. The Department of Education of the state came out and said, we screwed up. However, our rules state that no reviews post-game are allowed, whether by video or otherwise, once the referees step off the floor.
Yeah.
And so they handed the game to Camden. Massaquin has taken it to the courts. Now, not the basketball courts, but the court of law in order to get the game stopped, in order to basically sue for, I think it's called an injunction, to get the game stopped so that they could be named the winners of that game and move on to the state tournament. Interestingly enough, Newark High School, who is to play the winner of that game, has come out and said, hey, we are willing to delay this game as long as it takes in order not to have a miscarriage of justice. Now, you know, and this is not reported, this is just my rampant speculation, you know, Newark is out there with an injured player waiting for him to come back, waiting for him to get well. That's got to be the case. And so that's my last update on the New Jersey basketball controversy, suing over in order to get a bad call reversed. And Doc Harmon, I throw it to you. What would you sue over to get a call reversed? What game would you have sued over to get a call reversed? Is there one out there?
If I was inclined to pursue legal action,
yeah.
The one that I would change would be in the 2019 college football playoff when Ohio State played Clemson. There was a play that was a completed pass that was a fumble run back for a touchdown by Ohio State that got overturned. Ridiculously so. And so that's the first one that comes to mind of, if I could sue and get one call overturned, it'd probably be that one.
Okay.
Do you have one?
You know what? I thought about this. I just sprung that on you in the moment. You did not know that was coming, but I knew you would have something locked and loaded from Ohio State.
True.
Yeah, there is a Jets-Patriots game where there was a play that basically our whole season hinged on, where our up-and-coming tight end, I believe it was, I can't remember his name, but he was out reaching for the end zone, pretty clearly had the ball across the line, and the defender knocked it out of his hand, and the refs ruled it a fumble and a touchback to the Patriots rather than a touchdown. And if that had gone the other way, I think our whole season would have been different. I think we would have made the playoffs that year. We'd be talking, we'd be talking
Dynasty.
dynasty for
Yeah, absolutely.
the Jets. Yes. So, New Jersey high school basketball. The other controversy I want to talk about, and I'd love to hear your hot take on this. The Iditarod is racing right now, and for people who are not familiar with the term Iditarod or need a refresher, that is the dog race, the dog sled race, where people race from through major portions of Alaska and Canada. Is that right? Am I
I
getting that
think so,
right?
yeah.
Days worth of racing. And there is one guy who has won the race 5 times. So this is like the Michael Jordan of the Iditarod. He had a moose come out and attack his dogs in the middle of the race. One dog was injured and had to be airlifted out.
Wow.
And so rules state, and then he killed the moose. Now I assume he had a gun and he didn't do this with his bare hands, right? That's a 1,200-pound animal.
Yeah.
But
There had to be a firearm involved there.
yes, had to be. He killed this moose, and then when he got to camp that night, he was informed that a panel of judges declared it that he would be on a 2-hour delay the next day, a significant penalty for not properly gutting this and cleaning this moose. Because the rules state if you kill a elk, moose, or buffalo that is in your path, you must properly clean it and get rid of the innards. And upon investigation, he only spent 10 minutes cleaning his moose and
Man.
did not do it sufficiently enough, and therefore is getting a 2-hour penalty. Even though this moose attacked one of his dogs, which every report you read about this talks about, the dog got to the vet hospital and the dog is doing fine. That's how every one of these ends. So,
Yes.
any hot takes or thoughts on the Iditarod and the moose controversy?
Well, I think it's wild that they already have rules in place for just such a contingency.
They do. They do.
So, I mean, that tells you that this is not the first time that something like this has happened. And that it must happen regularly enough that you have to have an explicit rule in the rule book. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I guess if the rules are clear, then yeah, I suppose that you have to impose the penalty.
But it does feel like a bit of a judgment call. Like who determines whether this is sufficient or not? What is a sufficient clean? We need to get Brent, our chaplain, on the podcast. He would love to discern for us the proper. And I'm probably not even using the right terminology: gutting, cleaning,
Yeah, I don't
de-innarding.
know. D I'm pretty confident it's not de-innarding.
I'm a city boy at the end of the day, so I have no idea. But
Yeah.
yes, the Iditarod.
Yeah, I did not have that on my on my bingo card of topics we would discuss.
The I think it's a significant sports story this week.
Yeah. We have one more sports note here. The Grace College men's basketball team did win the Crossroads League tournament championship to complement their regular season championship. Convincingly
It wasn't even
over,
close.
no, it was a blowout. I can't remember a game like that where, I mean, we were up by as many as 31, like 15 minutes into the game. Like just blowing them out. I think we're up 28 at the half, and they never got closer than 20 the rest of the game. It was just a dominant performance.
Yeah, there's a I and it's not like Wesleyan's not well ranked. I mean, they're what? They've hovered 5th to 10th all year, right?
Think they were ranked sixth. Yeah. Yep. So Grace enters the national tournament for the NAIA as the number one overall seed. And we are hosting one of the first weekend pods, which theoretically we should win comfortably, you would expect. And then, assuming that happens, they would advance on to the Sweet 16.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
And we play, is it Saturday? We play Washington Adventist?
Friday night.
Friday night. Friday night. Washington Adventist.
And then there's another game after us that we play the winner of. We would play the winner of the next day.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, they're poised. I mean, they enter the tournament, what are they, 30-1 now, I think?
I think that's right, yeah.
I mean, I think anything, I mean, fluky things happen in you know,
mm-hmm.
tournaments. So, no guarantees. But this is by far the best positioned, I think, they've been to win a national title.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, we'll keep you posted on that. All right, John, you ready to move on?
Sure.
Today, we start a new series on the pod. We just finished up the Christ Hymn series. Another short series we're doing is a series on resurrection in the Old Testament. And so we're now less than 3 weeks away from Easter.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's early coming. This year. So, and in fact, you're speaking in chapel at Grace. Oh, there you go. My watch. There you go. That was fun. So you're speaking in chapel, right? On, in the lead up to Resurrection Sunday.
Yes. Yes. March 26th. if anybody in the Warsaw and Olic area wants to come in and see, I think that's open to the public as far as I know.
Well, they're not, I mean, they're not checking IDs. So, I mean,
yeah.
Anyone true. Could walk in.
But yeah, yeah. March 26th, I'm speaking in chapel for, Easter week.
And are you dealing with the resurrection, the crucifixion? What's your angle?
So we're doing, Brent and I are meeting actually this week to talk more about it, but the idea is to talk about, kingdom as it relates to the cross, basically is sort of my charge.
All right. So what we'll do in these three episodes leading up to Easter is we're going to talk about resurrection. But we're going to talk about resurrection in the Old Testament. And I think that, as we think about key resurrection texts, we understandably gravitate towards the New Testament, right? We think of the resurrection accounts in the Gospels. We think of 1 Corinthians 15, lengthy treatment of the resurrection. But I think we tend to less often think about key Old Testament texts that lay the foundation for that particular hope. So that's kind of the goal of this series, is to look at a few of those. But maybe before we do that, we should start with, Why is Jesus' resurrection so central to the gospel? Why, John, how would you answer that question in terms of why is it so central?
So my usual response is that Jesus' death was the payment for sin. The resurrection is sort of God's acceptance of that and sort of his vindication, his sort of Jesus, he's accepted that sacrifice, and he is showing what the Christians will have, sort of this resurrection of the body. So it's kind of like a preview of our future, so to speak.
Yeah, that's one of the key points that 1 Corinthians 15 makes. That basically, if Christ is not raised, then we have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
We are still in our sins, and death has the last word, essentially, if that's the case. So when it comes to the Old Testament, though, I think there are a few, we're going to focus on three texts in these consecutive weeks here. But today we're going to focus on Isaiah 26. It's sometimes said that resurrection is only a late idea in the Old Testament, that it's not really something that is present early enough, or it's just a later development, that it's not something that develops until you get to the prophets. And the texts we're going to look at are indeed going to be in the prophets, but I do think it's important to recognize that there are precursors to these more explicit texts that we'll talk about in the prophets, and in particular, we'll look at Isaiah today. So Isaiah 26, and we're going to focus on verse 19, but just to get a little running start, John, why don't you read verses 16 through 19 to get a running leap into it?
Okay, here we go. Isaiah 26, 16 to 19. O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them. Like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs, when she is nearing, when she near to giving birth. So were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we have given birth to wind. We have accomplished no deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For you dwell, for excuse me, for your dew is the dew of life, excuse me, of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead.
All right, so the larger context here is always good to pay attention to. This section of Isaiah is a series of oracles that deal with really the end of human history in terms of both God's judgment and his promises of redemption. And so, you do see a number of elements of this. Really, the section runs from Isaiah 24 through 26, but our text that is explicit that we're talking about here is from Isaiah 26. Now, we also could have noted that in the previous chapter, in Isaiah 25, we had another reference really to this, though less explicit, I suppose. This is Isaiah 25, starting verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is a cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And so, and yet, that's still just a reference to death in general. This is much more specific here in Isaiah 26, about the dead will live, their bodies shall rise. So it precludes this sort of generalized, kind of vague, almost spiritualized possibility of, oh, well, yeah, they'll live on in our hearts or something. You know what I mean? Like, the specific mention of bodies, I think, is important there.
Can I ask a couple questions of you of this text here? Because I read this today in preparation for our episode, and I just went like, other than verse 19, I just went, huh? So what do you make of the interplay of the pronouns? In verse 16, there's sort of a, oh Lord, they sought you. And then it turns to we. Like it goes from that third person to the first person. What do you make of that? Why does Isaiah make that turn?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it is Isaiah as the prophet identifying with the people, even if he's not specifically guilty of those particular sins. I think he is identifying himself with God's people. And then the switch to you and your in verse 19, even though it kind of flips back and forth, right? Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. I think it's Isaiah speaking, almost taking upon himself the voice of the Lord there, saying, this is what God is saying to you, your dead shall live. Because the verses leading up to that are a complaint, right? It's this like, Lord, we're in distress and nothing seems to be happening. And it's like we're pregnant, but we never gave birth, and deliverance hasn't been accomplished. We're at the end of our rope and we're stuck. And then this word in verse 19 comes, your dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. So I think that's intended to be obviously a statement of comfort, that even though things look hopeless, there is the hope of resurrection that God will accomplish.
And does verse 19 does switch to God speaking here? Is that what we're to understand in the second person?
I think that's possible. I would probably lean that direction, but it's interesting that our English translations don't, or at least the ESV does not put that in quotation marks, because I guess you don't have "Thus saith the Lord" specifically listed there.
So this could be Isaiah speaking sort of on behalf of the Lord. Is that the other possibility that we're looking at there? Those seem to be the twin possibilities.
One thing that I think I mean, I mentioned the significance there of bodily resurrection, which I think is important. I would say the other thing that stands out to me in particular is that reference to dust. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. I think that's an
Cremation, is that what
intentional
we're talking about there? Cremation, is that what we're going
no.
for?
I think that's an intentional allusion back to Genesis 3. From dust you were made, and to dust you shall return.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense.
And so I think, which is, it's wild to think about that God will reconstitute our physical bodies, even though they've essentially been, even though they deteriorate to the point where they're literally just dust. I mean, obviously, if you bury someone, the flesh rots away, but the bones remain intact. But even then, things happen to dead bodies, right? You know, it's not like there's perfectly intact sets of bones all around that God's like, oh, good, I can work with that. Like, there are plenty of people who die in ways that, their bodies are incinerated, even, not even talking about cremation, but like, just the fact that God can reconstitute our bodies from dust is wild to think about.
That last line there, the earth will give birth to the dead. Is that virtually saying the same? That's restating what's also at the end of the second half of verse 19 there.
I think so. Yeah.
Is there any allusion to I believe it's Matthew's gospel that talks about the dead rising at the moment of crucifixion. Is that part of this?
Well, I don't think there's a specific I don't think it's specific to this text,
Okay.
but I you're talking about the account Matthew 27, which is a strange passage to begin with, but I think when you read it correctly, I think what Matthew is saying is that the even though he describes it right after his after Jesus' crucifixion, I think the event he's describing actually takes place in conjunction with Christ's resurrection. I just think he tells it there to keep the focus on Jesus' resurrection in the next section. So I don't think you had I don't think the account Matthew 27 is intended to communicate that the resurrection of the saints that came back to life, walked around in Jerusalem. I think that is something that happened in conjunction with Jesus' resurrection, not in the immediate aftermath of his crucifixion.
Okay. But this would that be partial fulfillment of this with more of
It
a
could
future?
be. Yeah, I mean, I think Matthew's account there is intended, I think, to show you that the promise of Israel's restoration has now happened through the resurrection of Jesus. And that God raising up his people to experience that is evidence of that. One other thing I wanted to point out here is even though, we talk about there's not a lot of early explicit mentions of resurrection, there are hints, even like in Genesis 5, when you think about that whole genealogy in there. You've got the just the refrain, and he died, and he died, and he died. But then in the middle of that, you've got good old Enoch, who it just says, and he was not, for God took him, which is just wild to think about. But it's like, oh, so maybe there's hope of the possibility that there's something beyond death. And I think that continues to build throughout the Old Testament until you get to these more explicit statements later on in the Old Testament. So, anything else here in this before we wrap up, John?
I don't think so. I mean, I would be remiss if the junior higher inside of me did not mention that I believe to give birth to the wind is to basically to pass gas to right. Am I understanding that correctly?
I am not familiar with that expression, no.
To give birth to the, I'm pretty sure. So the junior higher in me wants to make that explicit on the podcast.
I mean, you have more experience working with junior high students than I do, so
That's true.
that is definitely true. All right, time now for this day in sports history.
All right, this day in sports history, March 12th, March 12th, 2024. Year is flying by here. We're in 25% of the school year here. 1985, Larry Bird scores 60 points, including Boston's last 16, to set a Celtic record and to lead them to a 126-115 victory over Atlanta. It's a lot of
All right.
scoring.
That's a lot of points. I don't know if that record still stands. I don't know if maybe Tatum has scored more than 60 in a game these days.
Yeah, maybe. Hard to say. 1987, Ice Paris World Championship at Cincinnati.
Pairs, ice pairs.
Oh, you're right. I totally transposed those. Ice Pairs, which makes more sense. At Cincinnati, won by Ekaterina Gordieva and Sergei Grinkov. How'd I do? Did I do all
I
right
think
with the
pretty
Russian
good.
name?
Yeah,
Okay, thank you.
I think her name is pronounced Ekaterina.
Ekaterina? Okay. Of the USSR.
Yes.
I mean, that's at the height of doping, right? I mean, that's got to be in question, even if it's on ice.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how much does doping help you with, like, because that's basically like, I don't know, ice, is that Is that dancing or is that skating or some combination of both? Like,
I don't know. I thought it said Paris Matt. So what help am I?
but I that would be a sport I just don't see necessarily the value of the doping. Like, what's the doping going to get you?
Well, you certainly need a measure of strength for for an event like that, and endurance.
Yeah. Okay.
I imagine that. Anyway, I just wouldn't put it past the Soviets to do just about anything. So,
Oh, I agree. I agree.
2002, Siena has an 81-77 victory over Alcorn State in the play-in game, becoming the first team in 47 years to win an NCAA men's basketball tournament game with a losing record. They were 17 and 18 entering that game.
There you go.
Wow, Siena. A lovely. 2009, Syracuse outlast Connecticut in the second longest Division I game ever played, capping a Big East tournament quarterfinal doubleheader in which the second and third ranked teams in the nation both lose. Andy Routens hits a three pointer with 10 seconds into the sixth overtime. Oh boy. To give the Orange their first lead since regulation, and they go on to a 127-117 win over the third-ranked Huskies. I miss the Big East.
Yeah.
They
Well, I mean, the
had
Big East still exists. It's just not what it was.
right. But I'm talking about the old basketball Big East,
Yeah,
which was
Syracuse, Georgetown. I guess Villanova was in there. Yeah.
Villanova was in their pit.
Yeah.
A number
Boston
of really,
College.
yeah. UConn was in there.
Yep. Yeah,
Number
those.
of very, very good teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that game. I remember going to bed about halfway through the second half of that game. And that game went till like, 1:30 in the morning because it was like
Yeah.
six overtimes. It was crazy.
I was in beta that night. I remember that happening. I was living in Beta Hall, 2009,
Good
spring
old
of
beta.
2009. 2020, not that long ago, NCAA basketball tournament is canceled over concerns of the spread of the COVID-19 virus. First time March Madness not held since it began in 1939. Women's tournament was also canceled.
Yeah, isn't it wild to think like we are right at the 4 year mark where 4 years ago, like the world was becoming unglued?
Yeah. Well, I remember the state of Indiana shut down, I think, with three COVID-19 cases.
Really?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous like that. Like Indiana had like 3 to 5 cases, and I remember the state went, "All right, we're shutting it down." And three to five cases, really? That's the threshold.
Well, but I also remember I sent you the tweet that marked the 4 year anniversary of Rudy
That's right.
Gobert
That's
at the
right.
press conference, like practically like licking the microphones,
Yep.
making fun of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that night, or the night that everything came crashing down, that was Vince Carter's last game
Oh, yeah.
in the NBA, at Madison Square Garden.
People have no idea how good Vince Carter was. Like, if you're a certain age, I think like you people should go and like search on YouTube for Vince Carter highlights. When he was young, he was unbelievably freakishly athletic.
Well, and he almost had two separate careers because he had a
Yeah.
career as that guy who was wildly athletic and a human highlight reel. And then
Yep.
he had the second half of his career was a little bit more of a catch and shoot guy. He would flash
Yeah.
the athleticism occasionally, but was a good team guy and had did a really, really good job in that role. That was also we tried to have a March Madness bracket tournament with our listeners first time, and it did not work
It did not.
for I think obvious reasons. 2023.
PGA Player Championship, TPC Sawgrass, Scottie Scheffler becomes the third golfer after Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods to hold Masters and Players title at the same time. Wins by five. Wins by five from England's Tyrrell Hatton. Am I getting that right? Hatton?
Hatton, I would think.
Hatton?
I'd say Hatton. That'd be my guess. So who do you like out of that, John?
Oh, my. Well, certainly not the Russians.
Or maybe not the Russians. Yeah.
I'm going to go with that Syracuse-UConn game.
Okay.
That sits in my memory as a really, really good one.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I think that's a good choice. One thing you liked.
So I was on the road this last week and had a dinner canceled on me. And so I had I had a coffee in the morning. So I probably had from like 11 a.m. the rest of the day free. And so I rolled up to a random movie theater in Greenville, South Carolina, and saw Dune 2 in theaters.
How was it?
So I feel a couple of ways about it. It was beautiful. I mean, just it'd be worth it just to see the movie. It's so beautifully shot. With the desert landscapes, the sun, you know, it's almost like the planet itself is its own character. Also, I will say maybe the most pro-life movie I've seen in a while. Wildly pro-life. And I know none of the creators of this movie are pro-life. And it's like they just don't get it. But definitely a pro-life movie, as is Dune in general. If you read the books, it's wildly pro-life, but the movie like amped it up even more. And it's the hardest part is it's a really convoluted plot, and you almost have to read the book going in to really understand it. Or read a plot summary ahead of time to really understand it. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, I've heard several people say that it's a movie that you probably need to watch at least twice, maybe three times to really follow it closely.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's true of several of, Christopher Nolan's movies, for example. So.
Oh, yeah. But just a beautifully movie. They do a lot of unique things. I mean, they do some really cool battle stuff that I've never seen before. So that was very, very, very cool.
Awesome. My one thing I liked is that this past weekend was my 28th. I'm not that old. Ooh. 28th wedding anniversary. So wow. Yes, celebrated with the wife over the weekend. Low key celebration, which was fine.
So 2 years from 30, what's the big plan for 30?
That's a good question. I'd imagine we'll probably do a trip.
Okay. You think about these things pretty far in advance, so.
I do. I've got some ideas.
We probably aren't going to talk about them on pod, though. I mean, we'll
probably
have a
not.
Conversation off pod.
Probably not. So, yeah, I went to Fort Wayne. We had lunch at, gotta say this carefully, Shigs and Pitt.
Yeah,
the
very
barbecue
good.
Place.
Yeah, real good.
So tasty. I had the two meats. So one was brisket, which was their brisket's just terrific.
Yep.
And the jalapeno and cheese sausage, which
I think
was
I've had that.
Delightful.
That's very, very good.
Delightful. Yeah, I think we're actually going to end up using them potentially to cater the rehearsal dinner for Jake's wedding.
Absolutely.
And even if we don't, we can still set up a some sort of appointment with them to sample for free. So, I mean, it's a win-win situation.
100%. Hey, you should have them do the wedding. I mean, it's that good.
Well, now here's the thing. So Autumn's dad supplies high-end meat and in particular veal to a number of high-end restaurants in the region.
Wow.
So that's going to be the meat. It's going to be out of this world good, John.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The food is going to be amazing.
I look forward to my invitation in the mail.
Yes. Well, I think you're going to make the cut.
I hope so.
In fact, we were discussing yesterday, some of the seating arrangements. So I did mention your preference.
Oh, good, good.
For people, yes. So I can't guarantee that it'll happen, but it was mentioned.
Okay, wonderful. I like it.
All right, we have talked lots of basketball and some Iditarod controversy as well.
Moosing, yes.
Yes. Make sure you properly gut and clean the moose after you kill it. That's the takeaway there. We have talked resurrection in the Old Testament from Isaiah 26. We have talked about Syracuse outlasting UConn in a 6 overtime tournament game. We've talked about the new Dune movie, and we've talked about my 28th wedding anniversary. So I think by definition, we have covered our various and sundry topics. And so all that's left to say is, until next time, the Lord bless y'all real good.
Later.